And another day of radio goodness has officially begun. This is Drop the Subject with Allie and James. And now is a great time to start a radio show. And according to my apartment building's management staff, it's also a great time to start mowing all the lawns. So this should be really fun.
Yeah. Yesterday, they were doing the trash. The trash people were coming by. And for some reason, it echoes very, very loud in our house. And I was fearing that everyone was hearing the trash man swear outside of our front yard yesterday. So
because it's all bottles.
These are what, right. And he's like, I'm going to take these bottles and recycle them.
Well, I mean, I think it was on, we've been doing this is day three. So Monday, I was also hearing like tree trimming. I was like, you guys, no, like now is not the time for all this. They're like, well, we should probably get around to all this tree trimming and hedge trimming and maybe cut down a few trees. It's like, no, everyone is working from home right now. Like, now is not the time to do all of that. Like, take a break. And I'm not mowing my lawn, if you know what I'm saying.
I haven't mowed my lawn in years. You know, what is also really kind of funny about this is that the similar thing is happening at my hospital. So I think I was telling you guys yesterday that, you know, the hospital is eerily quiet right now because we are prepping so hard for the calm before the storm. And what's happening is so many, you know, all elective procedures have been canceled. You know, there's just not a lot of people in the hospital, but we're still running a little frantic getting ready for what we know is coming. Well, the other people who are getting ready are our, God bless them, they are amazing, our environmental services workers, but they've also decided that now is the time to like deep clean the entire hospital because no one's there. Yeah. And so Same thing, there are chemicals through the air. There's like noises constantly. There's like the little mini Zamboni machines everywhere. You're like slipping, falling on the floor. Like it's a little bit crazy, but it's, I actually was like, some of the nurses yesterday were like, I can't believe they're doing this now. And I was like, actually, when else are they supposed to do it? Like, I think this is a great time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, when it comes to, I mean, we're all doing deep cleaning in our own places right now. So I'm sure workplaces are like, well, if there was a time to go in and deep clean the entire office and just do it by myself, now's the time. We've been cleansing and Marie Kondoing our apartment yet again. And now we've got a big pile of things that we want to donate to Goodwill, and Goodwill's not open.
That's so funny.
Everyone, I'm sure, wants to give stuff away, and they can't. Like, it's just piling up at our door right now.
Huge piles, right, that they're like, now this is causing me even more anxiety because I pulled everything out of my closet, and now it's just sitting in my living room staring at me. I can't do anything with it.
I did go out yesterday. I ventured out into the world. I ran 3 errands. It was very exciting. I was exhausted, but I got home. I'm not usually exhausted after running 3 errands, but I'm not used to leaving the house now anymore. So I was like, oh, Best Buy, Costco, and the grocery store. Unbelievable. But it was quite an experience to leave. I saw people at Costco picking up like literal orange trees. They were like, why not? I'm going to start gardening. I'm going to get a tree and I'm going to plant it. Like they're just starting to think, hey, I don't know when the food supply is going to run out. I might as well just start growing my own food. But
That's exactly where my mind went. I was like, oh, are people already in the like doomsday prepper phase of this where they're like, we're just going to survive on oranges so we don't get scurvy. Let's plant the tree now.
Right. I don't know. Well, I was interested to see how things had changed because I hadn't been to the grocery store in a couple weeks because I got the 2-week supply. Right. And I left and I learned a couple of things. First, the first thing I did was I went to Best Buy because I had to get some cables for this whole setup that we're doing at home. I'm very impressed by some of these companies and how they've been able to work around or develop a new system where you can pick up things and drop off things safely. I had ordered a random cable. And as soon as we pulled into the parking lot, there were some staffers that were just right outside the door, and they instructed me to park at a certain spot. Then I emailed them where I was, what my car looked like, and then a person brought out my cable And I was supposed to just pop my trunk and have them place it in the back seat so that I didn't have this, so that we didn't have to physically interact at all. It felt very drug dealy, but it was kind of exciting.
Wow. Right. Is this the future of where we're going? Like, is this how, because if this is working now and then all of a sudden you don't need like a store full of employees like checking you out, like is this going to be one of those things? Like, you know, people are theorizing we're never going to have handshakes again. Like, is this also just right, how you're going to shop for things at Best Buy going forward? That is crazy.
I mean, I did have a question for whoever, you know, whatever teenager worked there,
because
I
wanted to make sure I was buying the
right
thing.
I know. I was like, whatever, if I bought the wrong thing, I guess I'll just return it. But you're right. It makes you think about how things are going to change moving forward. And then at Costco, I walked up to the main entrance. They're out of hand sanitizer wipes, by the way. It was some lady who was spraying paper towel pieces with like disinfectant spray and handing it to people. But they had a sign outside the Costco that said, "We are out of," and then it looked like a bingo board of like blocks that said pasta, you know, rice, chicken. There was a whole list of things that they were out of, so that people don't waste their time. But it's kind of a cool way that people have adapted, you know? Everyone's adapting really quickly to this new system.
And certainly in many ways, I think much more efficient. Like I'm such, you know, I'm a nurse, I'm a caring guy, but I also am like a pretty efficient dude. Like I'm like, can we just like cut to the chase, like get in and out, like I'm over it. And so I sort of love like walking up to Costco and look, you know, cross-checking their bingo card with my grocery list. Like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
No pasta, no, okay, all right, these are the seven things I need. All right, boom, in and out, here we go.
Right, because the worst is when you actually take the risk to go to Costco and you know it's going to be an S show and you walk in and then you realize that they don't have what you need. So they are saving you the headache. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty pleasant experience. It was a success. And if, like I said, I was exhausted. So I'm a little sleepy today because I left the house. But we do have a very exciting show planned for you. We're going to get into the details of this stimulus package that was approved this morning. It seems to help a lot of people, but there are some questions that I have, and we wanted to give you just the general information of the nuts and bolts of how it works. And also some new people have been diagnosed with coronavirus, including Prince Charles. Unbelievable. So we're going to give you some updates on that stuff, but we also have some fun and games for you. So stick around. We'll be right back with Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Okay, this is Drop the Subject with Allie and James, and we are going to give you some of the details of the stimulus package that was just approved. They negotiated for 5 long days, and, you know, where I was thinking, if they hadn't reached an agreement in a, like, it was like the first 72 hours, I was like, this is going to take forever, it's never going to happen, and then they actually did reach an agreement, so that was a plus.
Yeah, I think some of it, they were, you know, they reached an agreement at 1:30 a.m. Eastern time. I almost wonder if some of them were like, all right, we're tired. Like, let's get this thing over with.
Yeah, you just kind of negotiate down to the nub and then until somebody just keels over and they're like, just vote yes. I want to go home.
I just have to get this out that the 12-year-old in me loves that we're talking about nubs and stimulus packages just before we get serious.
Yeah, so cool. All right, so let's talk about some of the basics, because while I'm not going to crap on this stimulus package too much, because it's important that we even have a stimulus package, and I think something like this has never happened before, and overall it's going to provide a lot of relief for people. There's just, I just need some clarification on a few things. So it says they've approved a one-time cash payment for up to $1,200 for individuals, for most individuals, and $3,000 for the average family. Then they go on to say that they've expanded unemployment to 39 weeks instead of 29 weeks or 26 weeks in most states. Then it says that they have approved a weekly benefit boost of up to $600 a week through July. And just based on that first batch of information, I feel like they've taken a page out of the like rental car dealership book, which is, oh, you know what? You could really get a Mercedes for as low as $4 a month. And you're like, really? And then you see whether you qualify, and there's like 0.1% of people actually qualify for a payment that low. So I guess I'm just confused by up to $1,200 for most individuals or $3,000 for average families. Like, what does that mean? Up to 39 weeks, up to $600. And through July, do you know how long it takes to get unemployment?
And this is, okay, that was my first question, exactly. Like, it takes some people, like, you have to stand in lines. Well, no one's doing that right now, but you're standing in lines, you're wondering about what's going on. It takes forever. There is a mountain of paperwork. And then once you finally get the paperwork actually done, it's legit. It's straight up months before you're approved, and then whatever. Then you get this unemployment. So now we're going to run out up to $1,200, up to $500 per kid, up to however many weeks. But this is all supposed to start with just like the drop of a hat. Like, if we need to stimulate the economy, we need to do it now. So what are the provisions for actually getting this money into the hands of Americans who need it and our economy who needs it in the next 2 weeks? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. And I mean, I wonder how this is going to affect the census, because I think there are a lot of people out there who are like, census, whatever. I'm not going to fill this out. But then they also have to know you exist for them to pay you properly. Right. So if people still have that census paperwork sitting on their desk and they're like, maybe I should be like, no, hold on a minute. I actually do have 7 kids.
And I was just going to say, I wonder if people are going to start making up children all of a sudden. They're like, oh, yeah, I've got nine kids
that I made.
Exactly. Well, and I do think it's interesting that, you know, my understanding of this is they're going to cap payments for anyone making six figures. So anyone making over $99,000, except I feel like that needs to be sort of prorated, right? So New York is being one of the most hardest hit places right now. $99,000 isn't going to get you anything in Manhattan. And so there are individuals who are absolutely living paycheck to paycheck, who are industry workers, who are whatever type of workers, that might be making $155,000 a year, but they're sharing a studio apartment with 7 other people. Like, I think
just because they're paying like $6,000 a month for rent.
Totally. $99,000 is such an arbitrary number, and that can't apply in places like New York, like San Francisco, like Seattle, like even Los Angeles, where the cost of living is so much more expensive. I get it if you make $99,000 and you live in Kansas, but it's not the same everywhere.
Yeah. And then just to wrap it up, $500 billion is going to some of the big businesses. So that's great. But they have said that it will not include Trump hotels. Thank God. I'm really glad that they stuck to their guns on that one. And then $400 billion for small businesses. So, I mean, I am very anxious to see how all of this plays out and when all of this plays out, as I'm sure all of you are. And we will keep you updated on all of that. But a step in the right direction, regardless.
Yes, absolutely a step in the right direction. And I'm glad that we won't, hopefully not going to be seeing the tragedy of everything that is happening currently and coming with COVID-19 and a complete and total collapse of our economy. We don't need the double whammy right now.
No. One whammy's enough. All right. When we get back, there have been some new COVID diagnoses, of course. We're going to talk about some of the people that have been recently diagnosed and another conspiracy theory. What? We'll get to that next.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. Wanted to give you some information. This is Allie and James, by the way, recording in our perspective homes. Just wanted to give you Just wanted to give you some information about some new cases that have been popping up. Most notably, the Prince of Wales has got the COVID.
He has been diagnosed.
Prince Charles. I know. I mean, he's had a rough year. Prince Charles, they've announced, has tested positive for COVID-19. He's now self-isolating, which I think he kind of does anyway. I don't know if he really goes out that much, and I don't think he really does that much either. I think Prince William does a lot of his work for him, but he is 71 years old, so of course, as a nurse practitioner, you would know higher risk, right?
Even just being aged, if you will, does put you at higher risk. However, I would imagine that he has probably some of the best healthcare team on earth. So I worry a little bit less about him.
Yeah. An African saxophone legend. And I don't listen to, I actually like jazz but I could not name one jazz person other than like Miles Davis. Like I'm right, not, right. I don't know any names, but I definitely know that dee 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 doop song. That's about it. Anyway, this guy, his name is Manu Dibango, and he's apparently an African saxophone legend, and he has died after catching coronavirus. He is 86 years old, and he, I guess, is known for fusing jazz and funk music with some of the traditional sounds from his home country in Cameroon. So it's unfortunate now. I know we're seeing a lot of cases pop up in quote-unquote celebrities or people who are notable legends, and to see somebody pass away is really kind of another wake-up call.
It really is a wake-up call, and I think, unfortunately, this is going to start happening. It's going to start touching us, you know, with celebrities and other individuals, people who are influential in our lives that maybe we don't know are going to start not only getting this, because that's happening, but they're going to start dying, unfortunately, and then it's going to start being individuals that we know, and I think it's going to be really, really incredibly heartbreaking as that starts to progress.
Yeah, I know. It starts getting closer and closer. Also, Tony Award-winning playwright Terrence McNally, who, I mean, as a theater major, I definitely know about some of his stuff. He wrote Kiss of the Spider Woman. He wrote Lips Together, Teeth Apart, which is a really well-known AIDS drama. And he has also died from COVID. And it's just so freaking weird to... You know, not like I knew him, but to know somebody's work and know their... You know, their decades of contributions that they've made to the theater world. And then to see them go out like that is just like, oh my God, it's nuts.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. There are others. Jackson Browne, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Placido Domingo is, you know, another individual from the music world. Daniel Day Kim, of course. There's several basketball players. Yeah. Sophia Trudeau, the husband of Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, the wife also of Maria Gomez, who is the wife of Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, has also tested positive. And interestingly, Spain just actually is now the second country to overtake China in terms of the number of individuals who have died from coronavirus. So I think it's just, you know, the reason we bring this up is it's interesting news to people, but it's also important to remember how real this is and how it's really impacting people all over the world.
Yeah, for sure. And then just to close it out, I wanted to share, because we love a good conspiracy theory on this show, but this one is not one that I love. People are getting test shamed, like celebrities who are notable and getting, you know, oh, I got tested. It's so easy for you to get tested. People are like shaming celebrities for that, which is kind of like, I get where they're coming from, but it's also like, let's just be thankful that they're able to get tested because a lot of people aren't. But then there's this conspiracy theory that stars are being paid to say they have coronavirus, which is so ridiculous. And Idris Elba said people want to spread that as if it's news, and it's ridiculous. And he said like the British version of BS. And he said, it's the quickest way to get people sick because there's no benefit to me and my wife, Sabrina, sitting here saying we've got it or we ain't got it. I don't even understand the logic of that. So I don't know what the hell that's about. I don't know what the benefit, like if you have if you're going to start a conspiracy theory, at least have like one or two arguments in favor of it instead of just saying that.
Right. And actually have some substance behind it. Well, it just goes to show people still think that this is a hoax and people still think that this is not real. And that, and you know, in a way to try to the liberal elite media to try to convince everyone that this is real, they're going to pay celebrities and pay politicians to say this. It's just like, you know, that video that's gone viral of Bonnie from the South Side of Chicago, who was ready to take somebody down in the grocery store because the woman in there was saying that this was a hoax and that people were making it up. And I think, you know, in times of fear and anxiety and the unknown, we tend to, as a species, sort of devolve ourselves to the extreme. And we sort of go, oh, well, it's got to be a conspiracy, or they have to be doing things like paying celebrities because this just couldn't actually be real.
God, it's just amazing to me when someone's gonna go that far, like the moon landing being a hoax. You're like, so many hoops would have had to. I mean, it's just Like, the amount of hoops people would have to have gone through to make coronavirus when it's a hoax is just like, okay.
I mean, Allie, the moon landing is totally a hoax.
Oh, you know what? That's a nurse practitioner. He said it, ladies and gentlemen. He's right. Okay, when we get back, chances are, if you're listening to this right now, you're not wearing pants, or you're not wearing pants with a button and a zipper. Let's be real. I have not worn anything without an elastic strap in 6 days, and I want to see if anyone can top it. We'll get to that when we get back.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
All right, drop the subject here with you. Quarantine or no, we're always going to be here for you, and you can always interact with us at DTS Show on Twitter and on Instagram. We are there for the interacting. And I put a question out on our Instagram story because when I woke up this morning, I put my dress top on. I said, man, I'm all business on top and pajama party on the bottom at this point. I really haven't worn pants with a zipper and a button in quite a while. And I went back to think about how long it's been, and I believe it's been 6 days for me, but I wanted to see if anybody could top that. And James, I don't know if you count, because you've actually been wearing pants and going out to the hospital, though scrubs, I still don't think count as pants. Those are more pajamas, but you do wear jeans or real pants to leave the house, I assume.
Right. Well, that's the thing. So the last few days, the only reason I've left the house is to go to the hospital. And so they have been in scrubs, and I don't, you know, it's sort of like swapping one pair of pajama pants for another. So I'm not sure I totally count them. However, right now, in this very moment, I very intentionally woke up this morning, took a shower, shaved my head, actually put on deodorant, and I am wearing jeans with a belt on purpose.
Stop it. You stop it. I don't believe you. Pictures or it didn't happen.
Right. I should send out a picture on our social media, by the way. That would be super fun. We want to see what everyone is wearing or what their favorite, inside clothes is what we called them when we were younger and kids. You guys should tweet us those pictures or add on Instagram at DTS Show.
Yes, I do want to see what people are wearing, because I'm getting to the point where I'm not even in a condition to do web meetings anymore. Like, my hair's growing out. I've given up. Like, I don't even want, they're like, oh, post a video. I'm like, I'm not even video friendly anymore. I don't know if I want anyone to see me, but I have taken to putting a bra and a shirt on every day. That's as far as I've gotten. So I've already gotten some responses at DTS Show. Netwar1 says it's been 10 days since he's worn actual pants. Another friend of mine said that they haven't worn jeans since March 14th. So that's 11 days. Caroline wow. Marie on, yeah. Caroline Marie 91 on Instagram says real pants, maybe about 6 or 7 days. And then JM Mecki had a great question. Do yoga pants count as real pants? I'm going to say no, because when I went and ran my errands yesterday, I went in like workout pants. I think anything with an elastic waist does not count as real pants in this scenario.
And maybe, can we just extend this? I'm going to create a furor. I'm going to ignite controversy here. Can we just extend this past coronavirus? Like, I'm not sure that yoga pants actually really count as like wear outside pants anyway. I don't know. I don't know if it's just me because I don't wear them, but I'm not the biggest fan of yoga pants everywhere. Like, I don't need to see every crook and crevice and cranny that you have on the plane, at the store, in the spa, like at the movie theater. Like, just put on some damn pants.
See, I'm fine with yoga pants as long as you cover the crannies. The crannies got to be a little covered. It can't just be yoga pants and I went to the farmer's market one time and saw somebody in yoga pants and just a bra, and they weren't working out. They were just going to the farmer's market, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, hey, you're dressed like you're going to the gym and you're outside just mingling with people like it's a regular day. That I don't like. But if you're wearing yoga pants, I'm fine with it, as long as you have some kind of an athleisure or presentable top that goes down past your ass.
Or your crooks and your crevices and your crannies. I guess I'm fine with it. I'm not like shaming people who wear yoga pants all the time, but sometimes like, no, I don't. Sometimes maybe the yoga pants are just hiked up a little bit too high and I see too much going on. You catch my drift?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. So if you have not worn pants in over 11 days, the current longest answer is 11 days. So if you can top that, I'm six. Katie, my wife, said that she hadn't worn pants with a button in 2 weeks, and today was her first day. So let us know your answers, and we'll be right back. This is Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. I am James, broadcasting with Allie Johnson. We are both from home, though, right now, and we are pretty sure that you're listening from home as well, which, brings up some interesting questions, kind of like Allie was talking about earlier and her fun on not being prepared for video conferencing. There are some new HR rules, or are there? From working at home, you know, there are certain things about office decorum, how you interact with your colleagues, the bosses, cubicle etiquette, all those kinds of things. And also, you know, much more serious things like, you know, no sexual assault kinds of things happening. Like HR spans a big palette, if you will. But what are the HR rules when we are at home? Do we think throw them out the window?
Well, there's some that you kind of can throw out the window completely, right? I mean, like, if I were topless right now, it wouldn't matter.
But I think you are topless, yeah? Was that a hint, Allie? You're trying to tell us something?
Hypothetically, if I were to be topless, it would not matter. And I am in my workplace in inappropriate attire. So that already doesn't matter. I think what's more inappropriate is if you're doing a web call, all you have to do is wear a shirt. We've already established that, right? But you can also right. have inappropriate background attire, right? Like if you've got a giant butt plug sitting on your end table right behind your web meeting, that's inappropriate workplace. That can count as inappropriate workplace attire, right? I mean, that's not mm-hmm. appropriate for an office environment. And even though it is your home, the background of your web call has become your work environment. And you can be held accountable for that.
You can be held accountable for that. And that's what I wonder. What is the accountability for that? Like, let's say, you know, listen, people have toys. Let's just be honest. I don't care which way you swing or if you don't or whatever, or how many people you're swinging with. Hopefully not many during isolation and social distancing, by the way. But let's say you do leave said toy or butt plug out in the background. Completely by accident, right? You're not trying to make a statement. You're not being obnoxious. You leave it by accident. And someone on a video call is offended by it. I am personally offended by the sex toy that was in the background. Like, do they have grounds to file an official HR complaint?
That I don't know. I don't know if you do, because you can just say it was an accident. But if someone's looking a little homelessy on a regular basis in a web call, say they're on a giant web call with a bunch of clients and, you know, it's office-wide, everyone's participating, and you're the only one that looks like you've been stranded on a desert island for the past 3 years, and it's a consistent thing, I feel like that can be reportable to go to HR and say, hey, this person's being unprofessional. Like, I think it's a one-time butt plug issue, then no. But if it's a consistent thing, like maybe you've warned James or Bames, for example, for being totally hypothetical.
Just totally hypothetical. Not that I would have any sort of butt plugs or toys around my house at all. No, Allie, no.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But if you had been told that it made somebody uncomfortable and then you continue doing it, sure, I guess that could be grounds. But also, it goes to how productive you're being at work. Now you can't really monitor that as well as you can when you're in the office. So if somebody's walking by in an office setting and you're on Facebook, you can get in trouble for that. But there's no one here at your house to hold you accountable. And if you're, unless you get caught where you're in a web meeting or something, or it's obvious that you're talking on the phone with somebody while you're commenting on somebody else's Facebook, and maybe you're Facebook friends with that person and they can see that you're not paying attention or working, but work productivity, it's a lot harder to keep track if you're going to sites that are not safe for work, or if you're going to other sites that are not related to your work. There's really no way to regulate that. So it's kind of the Wild West right now.
Absolutely, the Wild West. I think what's really fun too is there's been this controversy for a long time. I don't know how you feel about this, about whether or not you should be friends with your coworkers on social media, Facebook in particular. Right. And I for the longest time was like, nope, I'm not bringing friends into my Facebook land. I'm not doing this, whatever. Well, then I decided to create this entire social media platform called Ask the NP. And now, like, everyone is in my social media. And so I wonder if the people who didn't not invite their colleagues into their Facebook world are sort of sneering at everyone else now, like, ha ha ha, I told y'all so, because they can play around on Facebook all day and their coworkers will never see it.
Right. They're safe. And I think that doing that is, you're basically creating a virtual break room where anyone is susceptible to harassment or judgment. And social media plays a huge part in that. I mean, you have one wrong tweet and you're even if you work at a Dairy Queen and you say or do something totally inappropriate, you can get fired over that. So, I mean, the break room is the place. If you watch all those sexual harassment movies or, you know, all of those training videos, the break room is where everything happens. They're like, hey, Sally, what's going on? Do you want to hang out for drinks tonight? Maybe a promotion's in it for you. And they're like, what should Sally do? So now that there's no actual break room, if you're online and you're all friends, that's kind of the new break room.
I feel like you are onto something here. You know, everyone's trying to create the next app. I feel like in the middle of social distancing and everyone working from home,
break room app,
Allie, you should create the virtual break room, right? Where everyone gets to just like, the app integrates with all their web video conferencing, their email, their whatever. And they're like, I'm taking my 15-minute break right now. Like, I'm in the break room, be back in 15 minutes, whatever. And I think you're onto something, Allie Johnson.
And then you can have virtual smells of people's crappy lunches that they brought in.
And then you can get in trouble for stealing said crappy lunch from the
refrigerator. Yeah, you're like, Mike with the fish again. Right. It's like, ooh, Mike. You know, Kendra stole your salad, your chicken salad. And you lose points for that. Oh, this is genius.
Right. I love it. All right. So we're going to come up with the virtual break room app. Don't anybody else take that. Allie Johnson is going to own that one. And also
copywriting right now.
Right now. While Allie's off copywriting, please stay tuned. Coming up, you know, does your hairstyle give away your sexual preference? This is a very controversial topic. We got a lot more coming up on that and more. Stay tuned to Drop the Subject.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Okay, Allie here, James in the comfort of his own home. James wearing pants, me not wearing pants. Are you wearing pants? You can tweet at us or Instagram us your non-pants, or just tell us how long your no-pants streak has been. Currently, the longest streak is my wife at 2 weeks, but Netwar 1 is a close second of 11 days, so we're trying to figure out who of our listeners has gone the longest without wearing actual pants. I'm talking buttons and a zipper. Jeans count. Yoga pants do not count. Let's move on from the bottom half of our bodies to the top half. And let's talk about hair for a minute. I know. If you're listening to this, you probably haven't brushed your hair in a while. James, I know you definitely haven't.
Yeah, for about 23 and a half years. Yeah.
But it's an interesting conversation, and it's non-COVID related, so I think we should dive in. Does your hairstyle give away your sexual preferences? Now, I would say 10 years ago, yes. Now, not at all. Because when I was younger, I didn't have a quote-unquote gay haircut. Now, I have a quote-unquote gay haircut. But when I was younger, anybody who had that like 90s to 2000s pixie cut, they were at least bi-curious. There was a few of them that were just like goths, but most of them I was like, all right, those are my target ladies. Now
this is who I'm going after based on that cut right now, right?
Yeah, but it was easy to be like, okay, that person definitely kisses girls. I can tell by that undercut. And then now everybody has an undercut and everybody has part of their head shaved and I cannot tell anymore. And it's really hard. Thank God I'm with somebody. I don't know how single ladies are doing it because you literally can't tell.
And I feel like this is one of those things that we have been striving for as a community, right? Like we don't want there to be these like solely based on aesthetics, like, you know, equal rights and equal treatment and like whatever, and don't judge me just because of my haircut. But now you're sort of right.
We're
like,
I do.
Wait a minute. Now I can't, we're in a big crowd of people and I don't know who is a millennial, who's gay, who's just like in the fashion industry. Like who's an Instagram influencer? Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. It's funny. I guess there's something called the bisexual bob, which I didn't know about, but makes sense. Bleach blondes are more, people think that they're more heterosexual if you're a bleach blonde. But then I also think about, you know, your lack of hair and you've got a beard and you're a bigger dude and you've got a bald head. And I look at you and I go, gay bear.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, so as I feel like our culture and it's particularly our subcultures, right? Our sub animal groups of bears and otters and dolphins and elephants and whatever critter you are this week.
Elephants? What are elephants?
Elephants. Elephants are ginormous gay men, of course. So as these things evolve and change, I will tell you that there's a part of my gaydar who sees a muscled or larger bald-headed man with a beard, and I default him to being gay unless told otherwise.
Right. And you know what? It's interesting because in this article, it's I think dazeddigital.com. There's an article here that says, does your hairstyle give away your sexual preferences? This doctor says that as members of a marginalized community, having recognizable aesthetics are and always will be an important thing for queer people because we have been such a marginalized group over the many years. You kind of, it's like it's something to hold on to. Like I can spot a member of my community in some way, shape or form. It's sort of like the handkerchief.
Yeah, it's really kind of a thing, isn't it? And there's much, you know, there's so many different layers to this that what I really love. They also go on in this article to talk about, like in February of 2019, Bob the drag queen, who's a former RuPaul's Drag Race winner, right? Well, he tweeted, this was so funny, you know, if a gay guy bleaches his hair, check on him. He's going through something tough. And I totally believe that. Like, it's sort of like the post-breakup haircut. It's also the post-gay boy breakup. Like, oh, I broke up with this guy or someone broke my heart. I'm going to totally bleach blonde my hair. And then if you see them in the gym like 7 times a week, you're like, oh, that guy just broke up with somebody.
Right. There are these little signifiers. You're absolutely right. And with lesbians, it's sort of like the haircut, the shortness of the haircut goes with, like, it's comparable to how confident you feel with your sexuality. So, for example, if there's a chick who's a big softball star, everyone knows that she's gay, except she's not comfortable with it yet, and she's just doing super tight ponytail. That's like, she's got long hair, she's always had long hair, and you're like, okay, you're gay, but you're not comfy with it yet. I mean, I'm totally generalizing here. I know there are plenty of softball players who like having long hair, but example. Then you see them like 2 years later and they've got a shorter haircut and you're like, okay, all right, you're getting a little more comfortable with it. And then the next time you see them, they've got like an even shorter cut and then it's even shorter. And then it's like, you know, a Mad Men 1950s style like comb over short haircut and you're like, all right, now you're fully embracing your gay. And so it's kind of, and I've seen it indirectly with some of my friends, you know, once you start hacking it off, you're like, no, this is good. And you just start kind of embracing your butch a little bit.
I love it. I was just going to ask. So there, you know, if we're just going to keep sort of generalizing, if you will, like, it, is there the opposite that goes along with the more femme lesbian identified folks, right? Like, is the hair getting longer, the makeup's getting thicker, if you will, like, if add through their transition?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm obviously not one of them.
You're like, I'm going to grow out my hair.
Definitely not for me.
Right.
Yeah. I've gone back and forth, but I would now. I mean, I think that now I just feel like long hair is too much to deal with. It's just too much maintenance. That's really why I wouldn't do it. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you're just a femi les, maybe you are. And then when you start dating, you know, if you like butch chicks, and they, you know, they're more butch, you feel like you want to dress up for your lady, you know, and put on that thicker lipstick and that thicker eyeshadow. It's interesting dynamics.
Isn't that an interesting dynamic? Like, sexy for one person is like a hairdryer, and sexy for someone else is like, you know, clippers. Shave it all off.
Yeah, exactly. And suspenders. Just interesting stuff. All right, when we get back, we're going to get into News It or Lose It. And I'm not going to say I found three stories that are not COVID related, but they are fun stories, I promise. So we'll get to those three headlines when we get back.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
Okay, it is time for some News It or Lose It headlines. James, I can't see you, but I'm just going to assume you're ready to go.
I am so ready to go.
Okay, here's your first headline. I don't know, do you have wine glasses, or are you just going to go ding?
Oh, no, I forgot my wine glasses. I'm going to ding. That's okay. Today. Damn it.
Okay. All right, headline number one. Bindi Irwin gets married with no guests.
Nah.
Nah? Oh, no.
That's oh, no.
All right. Headline number two. Want a free Netflix password? Popeyes has got you covered.
Oh, Netflix and Popeyes and free? Hell yeah, we're doing that. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. And then finally, headline number three. Zoom bombing is a new trend in video conferencing.
I think I have an idea about what this might be about. I am totally into it. Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Let's just get into Zoom bombing then right now. When video conferences go wrong, as its user base rapidly expands with Zoom, the video conferencing app is seeing a rise in trolling and graphic content. I bet Zoom was like so happy. I mean, not that anyone should be happy that all this is happening, but they were like, I'm sure they've seen a huge spike in people who are buying Zoom. I mean, we almost bought it and we never even use it for work, but we wanted to have a Zoom party. So we were like, all right.
Let's do it. I'm sure their stock price is going up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. One of the few ones that are going up. So it's kind of become this default social platform for millions of people who are trying to connect with colleagues and friends and families and students. And the trolls of the internet, of course, they're under quarantine, so they have a lot of time on their hands, and they are looking for Zooms to disrupt. They're jumping into public Zoom calls. They're using the platform's screen sharing feature to project graphic content to unwitting conference participants, forcing hosts to shut down their events. You know, this is like the digital version of, oh, there was a Best Buy and all of a sudden on one of the TVs, graphic porn was playing. You know, this is like the virtual version of that.
That's exactly what that is. Or it's almost, if you take it even a little bit more old school, it's like the modern version of streaking at like a baseball game.
Yeah. So
I think this is
the good old days when people were just getting naked at baseball games.
Just getting naked and running across the baseball field. Like we didn't need technologies or viruses to have to do that. But I will say I hate internet trolls just like everyone else, but I do kind of find this one really funny.
Yeah, no, I do too. It says on Tuesday, so this was yesterday, Chipotle was forced to end a public Zoom chat after the brand had co-hosted with the musician Love after one participant began broadcasting pornography to hundreds of its attendees. So they obviously had gotten hacked, and there's just all this porn broadcasting to hundreds of people that are on this Zoom chat.
I am dying. I think it. This is so funny. And you know he's 12, right? You know he's figured out a way to...
Oh, totally. You're like, oh my God.
Check it out, you guys.
Because they have no
and
school.
Right, because they don't have anything else to do. And these kids, you know, these 12-year-olds are smarter than all the rest of us about technology. I'm sure he did this, like, from his phone, like, under the covers in his bed, you know?
Yeah, when I was a kid and I didn't have school, my cousin and I would take the mattress out of our bedroom and put it on the front lawn and then open the window and just jump from the living room onto the mattress outside. And these people are coding and hacking giant hundreds of people wide Zoom conferences.
Right.
All I could think of was jumping onto an old mattress.
Right. There is hope for our future, Allie. Hope for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Popeyes and how they're going to help you fried chicken and chill. Popeyes is doing what a lot of people do not want to do right now. Everyone's hoarding groceries, but they're also hoarding their streaming passwords because a lot of people are home and they're able to watch things. And they, you know, if they didn't have Netflix before, they're probably still stingy and don't want to do it. They want to, you know, get your password or use their cousin's password. Well, Popeyes is releasing their password. It says social distancing brought on by real life cancel culture. It means that we have nothing but time, fam. And as always, Netflix has an array of choices to tickle your entertainment fancy. From the Popeyes press release via there's another news source here called The Takeout. Uh-huh. It says, as a brand rooted in Southern heritage, Popeyes treats everyone like family. And what do families do? They share streaming service passwords, of course. So you post a photo of yourself eating Popeyes on Twitter. Then you use the hashtag that password from Popeyes in your Twitter caption. You must be one of the first 1,000 people to post the photo. And that's it. They will send you their password and you can stream Netflix for free.
Okay, now even the marketing people are starting to lose their minds. Like everyone is going... Yeah. Corona quarantine crazy. Like, I have to do something. Also, I thought we were like trying to slow down traffic to Netflix at this point because it start kind of crashing the internet. Like, we don't need to share a major company's password with more people. Like, that's counterproductive.
Well, and I thought that there was a limit to how many people, even if you have a family plan, I think you can only share with like 5 or 6 different devices. But I guess they must have purchased some kind of extended thing that allows them to send it to 1,000 different people. I don't know. All right, that has been your News It or Lose It. And when we get back, we are going to share the story of somebody who went to a sex party on Zoom. I don't think there was a need for any hacking here. It was just good old-fashioned graphic content. We'll get to that when we get back.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
James Simmons, nurse practitioner.
Yeah, that's one of the many things that come in the James Simmons package.
The nice package, the nurse package. Would you ever go virtually to a sex party on Zoom?
Wow. I don't think I've ever been asked that question.
Later in the show.
yeah, exactly. This is very good. You know, the medical provider in me, the nurse practitioner in me says that, yeah, that would be the safest way to have a sex party. So sure, why not?
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. That makes sense because, I mean, regular sex parties would scare the crap out of me just because I would feel like I didn't know what I was doing. But a Zoom sex party sounds like a great gateway party to when we actually can leave the house and have sex with each other again. You'll be a little more confident. Now, I know that chat roulette and just general webcams have been doing this for years, but now that we are all being quarantined, a lot of people are having some virtual love time. And there's this on Slate.com, there's a series of articles called the Coronavirus Diaries. And this person who wrote this article said, I went to a sex party on Zoom. They said they decided to do it. And about 15 minutes into the first Zoom sex party, D's just came out. There's just D's everywhere, dozens of them. Once in a while, someone would offer a compliment or, you know, flick open some lube. But mainly, they said about the half an hour mark, all conversations had ceased. And there were frequent requests, though, from the host saying to please mute when there was disruptive background noise. But that's isn't that the whole point, is disruptive background noise?
I wonder if the disruptive background noise was more like, you know, Frozen 2 in the background. Someone's watching Disney Plus and they're like, could you please turn the movie off, you know?
Okay. All right. Oh, I need sex noises only.
Right. I don't need Elsa or whatever the hell their names are. Yeah.
I mean, to each her own. I would be okay with that. I did watch Frozen 2 a couple of days ago and Elsa's hot. I'm just going to say it. She's super hot.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, oh, that's just, it. That's the story. Elsa's super hot. Oh, okay. Yes, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, there, by all means, please. I talked about it a little bit with Clayton on Monday about how I think there is sort of a lesbianic type scene, suggestive lesbo scene that maybe planted some lesbian seeds for Frozen 3, but she has got some major lesbian energy. I love it. And I have no, Katie and I were both like watching the movie, and we're going, she is just, is it just me or is she so hot? And then Katie said, yeah, but I think she's old enough, so it's okay. And I was like, really, oh, that's really, really interesting that you went over that in your head to make sure that the cartoon that we're like lusting over is old enough.
Is that she's old enough. I mean, you are watching Disney, so it's a legitimate concern. I also feel like maybe this, see this, here's our segue. Is this the lesbian version of a video sex party, right? It's just like watching Frozen 2?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Or it's just watching cat videos.
Yeah, right. Or right. Like, or both. You know, ooh.
Or like car tutorials. Or both, yeah. Okay, when we get back, James, or all three. Oh, stop it. Now you're talking dirty to me. When we get back, right. We're going to play a game. There are a lot of internet challenges going on right now because everyone's bored out of their minds. Coronavirus, take me now. My God, I can't believe how many challenges I have been tagged in the past 48 hours. But we're going to play two truths and a lie with internet challenges. I'll give you two that are actually going around right now and one that I made up. And we'll see how many you get right. Okay?
Sounds good. I'm in.
All right. We'll be right back.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Okay, Drop the Subject with Allie and James. And broadcasting from home, you're probably at home right now. And if you're listening on the podcast, hey, you know, you can listen live. It's wonderful. All you have to do is yell at your Alexa. I'm sure she's used to being yelled at by now. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Channel Q on radio.com. She will listen to you. And if you want to play along with this next game, you can absolutely tweet your answers to us at DTS Show. It's two truths and a lie. Now, we've played this game before, but we do it in different we do it with different themes, so to speak. And I thought that today would be a great opportunity to do an internet challenge themed round of Two Truths and a Lie, because I don't know about you, James, but I am getting tagged in a ton of different challenges and a ton of different, hey, what's your, like, let's explain your quarantine in Disney characters. I mean, it's just getting really wackadoo. I've been asked to do 30 push-ups every day, and I can't even do that many.
Right, and if 14 people tag me in the 10 push-up challenge, does that mean I do 10 push-ups once, or I do
yes
10 push-ups 14 times? Like, what are you asking of me here?
That is a great point, because if they are doing regular push-ups, but then I get another challenge that's doing knee push-ups, do I just do the easier ones or do I have to do the harder ones?
Right. I mean, and the one-handed ones, like, come on, guys. I'm also, you know, like, generally no. When I'm getting these challenges, by the way, I'm at work. So do you want me to do push-ups or do you want exactly. me to be a nurse practitioner? Like, come on, people.
Right. It is funny, though, to see some people who never do any type of workouts, whether it's at home or at a gym, and then they're now trying to do these challenges because they're so bored.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, you're trying to do push-ups now. How's that going for you?
Yeah, yeah. How's that working out?
All right. So I'm going to give you a group of three internet challenges. Two of them are true, and one of them is a lie. This is two truths and a lie. You ready to play?
I was born ready.
Okay. Your first challenge is the poop challenge. The poop challenge. It is a viral prank, and it involves various people to bring them toilet paper. Okay. It basically is, it's the following. It's a viral prank that involves people asking their kids to bring them toilet paper while they're on the pop. When their offspring obliges, they smear them with fake poop that is made from chocolate or peanut butter, and then they upload their stunned children's reaction on social media.
We are taking boredom to new heights on social media right now. Okay. Poop challenge.
Okay, that's your first one. Your next one is the blind recipe challenge. Basically, how it works is that you blindfold yourself, then you grab two random things in your fridge, and you have to make a dish out of them.
Oh.
Okay, so that's the blind recipe challenge.
Do you have to make the dish blindfolded as well, or do you get to take the blindfold off once you've picked the two ingredients?
I believe you have to do all of it blindfolded. It's sort of like a Bird Box challenge meets a food challenge.
Right. Sandra Bullock got bored and she created a challenge. Okay.
Exactly. And then your final one is the 20 touch challenge. It's and this is mainly being done by athletes, but you have to balance and bounce a roll of toilet paper off of your tennis racket 20 times. And that is the 20 touch challenge. The question here is, which one is the lie? We have two truths and a lie here. Which is the fake internet challenge?
These are fantastic, Allie Johnson, because I really feel like all three of them can and probably should be truths. So as a tennis fan, I totally want the tennis one to be true, because I feel like my tennis players that I follow are getting real bored, right? Like they can only work out at home so much, and there's all these tournaments that should be going on that aren't. The poop one is just really funny. I feel like that's something my family would have done to each other. And I also tend to be like, I'm a cook. This is just kind of how I cook anyway. I just like grab stuff out of the refrigerator. I'm just like, all right, we're going to throw this together and see how it tastes. I actually think that that's not much of a challenge. I believe that the lie of two truths and a lie is the blindfold cooking challenge.
You are correct, James. Yeah. Unbelievable. Good job.
Why, thank you.
I didn't write this in 2 minutes or less. Okay. Here's one more round before we get out of here, okay?
All right.
I promise this one's going to be even harder. The first one is the catwalk challenge, and it is not your best model strut. It's not who can do the best catwalk down your hallway. It's can you walk like your actual cat? People are posting videos of their cat walking and then them trying to walk like their cat. And then they post like a side by side of their cat walking and them trying to walk like their cat.
Oh, okay? Mm-hmm. All right.
Then there is the flip the switch challenge. This is basically where you post a picture of you and your quarantine partner, and maybe one person's in a towel, another person's in a regular everyday outfit, and then you flip the switch and you completely switch outfits and take another picture.
Mm, okay, all right.
Okay, and then your final one is the cough on grocery store produce challenge. Now, this is a very controversial challenge, but people are going to grocery stores and pretending to cough on produce and then watch as bystanders get upset.
Oh, that is evil.
Okay, but the question is, which one is a lie?
Which one is a lie? So we've got the coughing challenge. We have the, I can't believe I just blanked on the other two. Oh, walk like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And what was my challenge? What was my challenge in the middle?
Flip the switch.
Flip the switch. Okay. I really don't want to believe that people are evil enough to pretend like they're coughing on produce at the grocery store, but I think they are. And I may or may not have seen the flip the switch challenge. So I have a little bit of a leg up there. So I do think that probably as much as you want it to be true, Allie, I believe that the catwalk challenge is the lie.
You're correct. Two for two. Unbelievable. Very good. You know what you win? You win somebody lawn mowing your entire property right now. Congratulations.
Yeah, can you hear that in the background? That's super great for radio.
I know. That's part of it. This goes with the territory. This is new territory. Yeah. All right. We're going to get to the GMA because it is Wednesday. So when we get back, we will ask each other some very personal questions. Stick around.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Okay, Drop the Subject is back, and it is time, as always, on Wednesday for the GMA. I'm Allie Johnson. I'm joined today by nurse practitioner James Simmons, and also a little later this hour, if you have questions to ask the NP, I've got a couple that have been piling up, and I know that you have some questions that you'd like to have answered by somebody who knows a thing or two about the public health and what's going on with COVID-19, but any questions, really, right, James?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shoe size. What razor I use to shave my head. Not all about me. That's what you're saying?
No. Like no. That's, yeah. Yeah. But no, I do want to know the answer to those questions.
Oh, okay.
So for the GMA, I thought we would start with a question that Jesse is posing to both of us. Interested?
Yeah, I think this is really fantastic, actually. We feel like we should... Because Jesse just really doesn't know much anyway, like in general in life, we should do our best to educate him.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to week to week just have him ask us who certain celebrities are. And then we just try to explain who celebrities are because he knows nothing about Hollywood.
I love this game.
But here's the question that he asked, and it was inspired by a Reddit thread. What would you hate about being the opposite gender? I think we should kind of change this to what would you love, like one thing you'd love and one thing you'd hate about being the opposite gender. But here are some of the responses that have come through on Reddit, and then we can give our own answers. Somebody said, this is a woman, I'm a crybaby, so the social pressure to be stoic would really suck. Somebody else said, I would really hate random erections. They seem very inconvenient. Another person said, sitting on my balls accidentally.
It's a thing. It is a thing.
Yeah, that sounds really painful. But if you fall and you land on your boobs, I will say that also hurts a lot.
I can imagine.
And then somebody else said they would hate the assumption that my life is easy just because I'm a guy.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Because it's maybe easier. Oh, but this is a woman probably saying that this. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, yeah. Interesting because I just went really like very deep on that one right away. I'm like, what do you mean my life is easier? Actually, it is because I'm a man. Wait, is it? Who's asking?
I know there's a lot of layers to that question. And then a guy said about women going into labor, pain while birthing a baby. I wouldn't like to do that. Somebody else just said the fact that you're able to get pregnant, the fact that you have to worry about getting pregnant would really suck. I will say that as a gay lady, never really had that problem. But I will add mine, and then I'm eager to hear yours. One thing that I would really love about being a guy, aside from just having an easier way of, like, I would probably make more money, which would be cool. But I would really like to have fun with facial hair. I've always been fascinated with guys' beards and then, now I'm going to have a goatee or, ooh, now I'm going to shave into a weird porn stash. Like, I would love to have fun with some facial hair. That's something that I would love about being the opposite sex. And then something that I would hate is I feel like if I played sports, I would really hate wearing a cup. That really sounds like not a lot of fun, or having to wear a jock strap. Like if you're an athlete, mm-hmm. having to deal with the constant bouncing. I know I have to deal with bouncing of my own on my end, but I think it's nothing compared to the jostling that goes around down there.
Down there with, and cups are evil, by the way. There is a reason why you see most professional football players, by that point in their career, they just don't wear them anymore. They're like, whatever, I'm going to let happens whatever happens, because they are just god-awful.
What, so what's awful about them? The pinching?
It is. Well, they're just... you'd think that everything would stay in the cup, but it doesn't. And so you already have stuff going on between your legs. And then you put this really hard plastic thing down there that doesn't move or flex at all. So now you've just, literally just shove a big piece of plastic in between your legs and then try to run. And then all, by the way, like stuff's falling out on the side. So you think it's bad enough when you sit on your balls now, but if one pops out of the side of the plastic thing and then you're running and then you sit on it and then it chafes and it's whatever. And then it's like extra sweaty and smelly when you take it out. Like it's just a mess. No. Yeah.
You have completely confirmed my choice. Yes, I was like, maybe there is something worse that I hate more. And then I'm like, nope, that would be awful.
You're like, nope, that's about it. Well, I think staying in the same sort of arena,
hold that thought, because we have to take a break and I want to hear what yours, are you going to give me yours next?
Yep. Well, we can do that after the break for sure.
Okay, yes. Okay, we're going to take a break when we come back. I can't wait to hear what James is going to answer. One thing that he would love, one thing that he would hate about being a woman. Stick around.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. So we're doing a little bit of a modified gay AMA. Blah, blah, blah. I can't talk today. Gay MA, because it's Wednesday. And normally, you know, Allie asks me something she's always wanted to know and curious about being a gay man. And I ask her the same about being a lesbian. But this time we're switching it up because pretty much everything on our show is different now. Thank you, hashtag coronavirus. Jesse asked us a question, and because he wants to learn, and he was sort of wants to know, what is the thing you would hate about being the opposite gender? And then we're adding in, what would you also love about that? So Allie definitely talked before about hating would having to wear a cup, that it's pretty awful.
And you now, definitely solidified that answer.
That it's horrible. Now, Allie, what would you love about being a man? What was that again?
It was beards. Being able to do things with my facial hair. And not shaving my legs. I'll add that. I think just the hair aspect.
Just, right. Like, not having to manage hair. Yes, I love that. So, speaking of love, I think the thing that I would love about being the opposite gender, at least growing up that way, is that I have always had a fascination with nails, like longer nails and heels. And so in 2020, right. You're like, you can have them. And again, this is not an assumption that just because you're a woman, like you have to wear these things or that you even like them. Exactly. But like, just, you know, humor us here. And in 2020, I know, living in Los Angeles, I can probably go most places with nails and heels and be totally fine. But I wanted to have grown up in Nebraska in the 80s and 90s as a kid and be into nails and heels and have that totally have been socially acceptable. I would have loved that. That would have been fantastic.
Really? See, I never wanted long nails. I mean, that's one thing that I can always tell if somebody is not a lesbian, is if they have really long nails. But if I had long nails, I wouldn't know how to wipe myself.
Right, because like, what are the logistics of this going on? Yes. I mean, talk about dirty hands, like, ugh.
I know, and it's the wipe and type. I wouldn't know how to wipe, and I wouldn't know how to type.
Yeah, the wipe and type, exactly. Well, and you guys, okay, so this is another thing, because I'm about to go what I would hate. Like, you guys have to learn how to wipe differently, right? You know, look front to back, and like, whatever. It's kind of a, I know, and it took me well into adulthood to really appreciate this. I think if my menstrual cycle messed with what I was able to do/wear, I would lose my mind. Mm. You mean this thing that I can't really control very well happens and I can't wear or go in a pool or wear my cute white swimming suit just when I want to, or I can't do X, Y, and Z just because of this stupid thing that I don't have much control over. I think that would drive, like, this menstrual cycle thing would drive me insane.
James, that is the number one response on this Reddit thread for what guys would hate the most about being a woman. It was periods, mate. Having periods sucks. And it's not even just the things that you describe. It's also the fact that if you're more irritable than normal, people will blame it on that and be like, oh, you're on your mm-hmm. period, or oh, you're emotional because you're on your period. But then you also do have this hormone fluctuation, so it's battling the actual up and downs that you have, but then also reacting to the fact that it's being used as it's being used against you in a lot of ways. And then
totally
just all the other things that change month to month, like, you know, crazy bloating, crazy cramps, you know, like having changes with it and what it means. And I mean, it's just all bad. There's really nothing good about it.
It's just all bad. It sounds like it. Now, I will tell you that dealing with like constant patronism, like people speaking to me patronizingly, was a very, very, very close second, because I see that and I witness so much of it, but I do see it through my privileged male eyes. But to actually like be a woman and have to experience that on the daily, I think it's amazing that there are not more like female serial killers.
Murderers.
I would have been one of them. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there should be more Eileen Warnoses in the world. For sure.
Honestly, right.
Yeah, when we get back, we're going to ask the NP. I have a couple of backed up questions, but you have questions of your own. And James Simmons is a registered nurse practitioner. He's also about to be a doctor. And so you can ask the NP any old time, and we will take your questions next.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject on the new Channel Q. I am so pleasured, honored,
oh,
I should
God.
Say.
I mean, you're working from home, but I didn't know you were working that hard.
But hey-o, yeah. But I'll stick with that. I'm pleasured to be guest co-hosting with Allie Johnson. We are both in our homes right now, but we are bringing the show to you because you are also in your home. And listen, one of the things that we do here on Drop the Subject, when I'm around at least, we do ask the NP, because that's my jam, that's my gig, and a lot of you have had questions. If you have more questions, always please feel free to reach out at DTS Show on Twitter and Instagram, and we will see those and we can get to them while I'm here. So, Allie, I think you have an amazing and fantastic question that I think so many people have in the middle of all of this. Like, I'm trying to stay clean. I'm trying to, avoid COVID-19 as much as possible. But when you get down into the nitty gritty of things, like what can I and can I not do? I think your question is amazing.
Yeah. So because we decided to wear gloves only at the third store that we went to yesterday. because we didn't have gloves for the first two stores, but we saw everybody wearing gloves, and it rose the question, if you wear gloves, when and how often should you be reusing them? So if I went into the store wearing gloves and I checked out and everything, and then I get back in my car, do I take the gloves off immediately? Do I keep them on when I'm driving home? Do I take them off and leave them outside of my house? Do I keep them in my car? Like, answer all those questions in 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, of course. With, the lawnmower in the background. So I think one of the best things to do with this is think about each incident that you're in as an exposure, and then you should remove your gloves in between then. So let's say you're in the grocery store. Do everything you need to do in the grocery store with the gloves on, one set of gloves. And then when you're done, before you touch your car, take them off and sanitize your hands. Because think about it, if you're touching everything in the grocery store and we're worried about there might be some COVID-19 exposure on the grocery store, then if you use those same gloves and then you're touching your car and your steering wheel, you're just transferring that to your steering wheel. So you can take them off, and then if you get in the habit of not ever wearing the gloves in your car, but sanitizing your hands, your steering wheel's fine, and then you don't actually need to use gloves in your car. Does that make sense? And your door handles and all those things. That's okay. Yeah.
So then you should dispose of gloves each time you go to the grocery store, or should you like put them in a little plastic baggie, and that's the disease baggie?
That's the disease. And I highly recommend using, disposable gloves and throwing them away. Getting rid of them. Just use the little blue gloves. Okay. Throw them on. Do your grocery shopping as you're leaving the grocery store. Throw them away. Right. Maybe load the groceries in the trunk and then throw the gloves away so you're not touching the bags as well. Sanitize your hands real quick and then jump into the car and drive away. You're good.
Okay, and then do we need to be wearing masks in our cars? Because I'm seeing a lot of people with gloves and masks while they're driving in their own cars. Do you need to wear a mask when you're by yourself?
No. You don't. Don't need to be wearing a mask by yourself. And I this one hits a little close to home too, because you also, so we know that surgical masks, a little bit of protection is better than none. But we do know that the surgical masks that most people are able to get their hands on just don't work very well. Also, we need them in healthcare settings to provide at least a little bit more protection for our healthcare workers who are on the front lines. So if you're in your own car and you are by yourself, you absolutely don't need to be wearing a mask. And those masks are actually meant to be disposable as well. So you have to think about it. Again, if you're in the grocery store, you're wearing a mask, maybe there's some droplets that have gotten on the outside of the mask. We know they can live on the mask for several hours. And then you take that mask and you put it in your car and you wear it there and then you wear it at home. You're bringing those droplets into your home. So think about everything being disposable. Right. So when you get out of the grocery store, take it all off, sanitize your hands, then jump in your car. You'll be fine.
Huh. Okay. Thank you. This has been Ask the NP, and I am very thankful to have an NP in my friend circle, which brings me to our next conversation. When we get back, if you could befriend someone just because of their skill set, I'm not saying I'm doing that with you, James. I'm just saying if you could only be friends with somebody because they are beneficial to you, like a doctor or maybe an IT guy right now or an IT lady, probably very beneficial. If you could befriend someone just for their skill set, who would it be? We'll get to that next.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Okay, Drop the Subject with Allie and James Simmons. James, very happy to be friends with you. I consider you a friend, and I also consider you a colleague. And I'm very happy to have this connection because not only are you a nice person who has a very good heart, but you also can answer all of my medical questions and all of my wife's medical questions, which means through osmosis that you provide an advantage to me.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much, Abby. I really feel the same way.
Damn it. It's okay. As long as it's not Sally. Right. So it got me thinking about, if you could befriend anybody solely for their skill set, who would it be? Because obviously, I'm not only friends with you because you're a nurse practitioner, but it's nice to be able to text you some questions. I had a blood donation question that I asked you yesterday, and you were like, here's your answer. I was like, perfect. So it's nice. There's an advantage there, right? It's nice. But
absolutely, yeah.
You could really pick, befriend anybody just for their skill set. Would it be, would you go lawyer? Would you go, somebody who's a celebrity so you can get into all the parties that you want to? Would it be, you think about this time of year, a tax professional? What do you go with?
I think that I'm a little bit blessed and lucky, by the way, that hashtag blessed. My very best friend from college for 20 some years now is a lawyer. And is very, very happy to give me free legal advice, and which he does somewhat often. So I'm super lucky in the lawyer department, because that might have been my first answer. But my answer to this is very much based in and influenced by the world in which we are living in right now. Because if I could be friends with anyone solely based on their skill set right now, it would be the best of the best doomsday prepper.
Doomsday prepper is a solid, and they're hard to find because they're all bunkered down. So you have to find a really great prepper who's social And that's a tough find right now, especially because in times like these, like, I want to talk to a doomsday prepper. I can't get a hold of one right now because they're like, F y'all, I'm already been prepping and now you want to ask me questions and I've already been, you know, touting all of my solutions to all this stuff for years and no one's listened. Now that it's actually happening, like,
Now you want to pay attention. Right. But, and they usually have such strict rules about who they'll let in and out of their bunkers that they've been building. Right. But like, if I'm best friends with one of these guys, I feel like I'm on the list. Like, I get into the bunker, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree. You gotta be bunker. The other thing is to be friends with somebody and then all of a sudden they go a little crazy, become a prepper, and you're just kind of automatically in the inner circle. I've also been thinking about being good friends with an IT person during times like this, because everyone's learning to work remotely and everyone's experiencing tech problems and techies are having a very stressful time right now. And I know a girl who's a great IT person and she lives in New York. I'm so pissed that she moved because she's a person that I would call in a second to help me with any kind of tech problem. And it has its advantages.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is the one thing that the one person that you would befriend just for their skill set? I mean, maybe a fitness instructor, maybe a hairstylist so you can get free haircuts. I mean, what kind of hookups do you really want? We want to hear from you at DTS Show on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm curious, and I'm going to go ahead and guess. I don't think anyone's going to say radio personality.
Yeah, no, I feel like maybe they we're like at the very bottom of the list.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, especially in like because I was talking to my wife when we were hiking about whether I would be valuable in a post-apocalyptic world. Like, Katie would be because she can therapize people and kind of keep them sane during this time. Me, I would just be telling gay jokes. And I don't know how much that really helps anybody.
There might be a place for gay jokes in the end of the world, Allie. Just saying. I think there you keep your head high. Well, I'll keep you around. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll be the town jester and I'll just stay next to James because they'll be like, okay, we need that nurse. And James will be like, I'm not going without her. And they'll be like, oh, fine. I'll just be your plus one in the bunker. Yeah,
exactly.
That's great. All right. When we get back, we're going to talk about some of the things that you may or may not have been watching in quarantine. I'm actually like, I don't know what, for the first time ever, I feel like I'm saying, I don't know what to watch. So there are some queer movies that a lot of people are recommending. We'll go through some recommendations and fill up your queue after this.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Your queue might be full or it might be empty when it comes to streaming right now because you've got a little more time on your hands. You're not spending any time commuting. By the way, this whole not commuting thing is really not great for anybody who's bad with time management. I don't have traffic as an excuse anymore. So if I'm late for a web meeting that I really just had to take two steps to be on time for, that reflects badly on me. So anyone who's bad with time management, I'm feeling your pain right now. But the thing is, you got some extra time. You've got some extra things to watch. But it's not necessarily like a lot of big new shows are premiering right now. Things like, you know, all the big ones that I was watching, like Handmaid's Tale, like that's not on right now. And so my main shows aren't on and I literally don't know what to watch. So I thought we'd go through some of these queer classics. You can kind of dig in and dive into the LGBT video vault and fill up your queue.
Because if you aren't gay enough and you haven't had enough, you know, big gay video sex parties and used all of your toys, you can watch some movies just to make sure you're just a little extra queer. You come out of this whole thing queerer than when you went in, right? I think that is an excellent plan. I feel like we need to start further back in this. Like this list is amazing. Mm-hmm. It goes old school. Paris is Burning, by the way, which so many people don't realize was it's a hugely impactful movie, and it sort of is the launching point. It's the inspiration behind the TV show Pose, Ryan Murphy's Pose on FX, and it highlights the ball culture. And in New York, yeah, in the 80s, and the movie came out in 1990. And so, you know, people have been voguing and runwaying and doing all these things for, you know, decades now, and it was really highlighted in Paris is Burning. So if you want something that is super fun, definitely a kiki, a little bit sad, but also give you some good gay history as well, like, I absolutely recommend Paris is Burning.
I will definitely watch that. Have you seen this? Because it goes in chronological order. The newest one on the list is Pose. The oldest one is from 1968, The Queen. Have you ever heard of that or seen it?
I have not. I have not heard of this movie. So fascinated by it.
Desert Hearts, 1985. Never seen that before. It's a romantic drama based on the legendary lesbian novelist Jane Rule's 1964 book. I'm totally going to watch that. And you can watch that on Showtime anytime. Because Showtime's gay AF sometimes, as they say.
And I feel like those movies that we watch that were sort of like hinting at gay, and like maybe there was that one sort of like gay situation or character, but not where the whole movie itself wasn't super gay. They actually can be a little bit more like almost erotic and almost more like enticing and interesting than sometimes being like bludgeoned over the head with like gay, gay, gay all the time, you know?
Oh, that's why I love Carol, that movie with Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara? Because they're just like, it's so slow, but the tension is so high, and then there's like one sex scene, and you're like, no, this is everything. It's the build-up and the, you know, it's just not as in your face, but though I do agree that the subtleties of some of these movies is exciting. The Birdcage, obviously, a classic, But I'm a Cheerleader is my all-time favorite LGBT movie. What is your favorite on this list, your all-time favorite? Because we've got several. I mean, we've got the original L Word. We've got Orange is the New Black. We've got Moonlight, great movie. Sense8, it's a great show. Tangerine, Transparent. What's your favorite on this list?
So, it really depends on my mood and my energy, like what I need at that time. I feel like we all need a little bit of happy in these days. So like from a happy standpoint, The Birdcage, I think people forget like Hank Azaria's performance. Like Nathan Lane obviously was amazing, and Robin Williams, you know, rest in peace, is just you forget how much of a comedic hero he was. But then like Hank Azaria's character in that movie is just hysterical. So if you want to cry out loud laughing, but also I think the most bingeable on this list, where you can sit down and you can watch it front to back, is Sense8. It is sexy.
Really?
It is interesting. Oh my God, the cinematography. It's the Wachowski now sisters who produced this movie. And literally it was one of the movies that almost broke Netflix's budget, because they're in Brazil, they're in Germany, they're in Russia, they're in Japan, or sorry, South Korea, they're in the United States, they're in Canada. And they actually filmed all of those on location with the entire cast and crew every single time. So you have this unbelievable cinematography, this unbelievable story, and there's lots of nudity in there too. It is great.
Yeah, I remember when that got canceled, people were pissed.
Me included. Yeah. Oh, I was like writing letters, like tweeting people. I'm like, what are you doing to my show?
Okay, cool. I think I will dive into that. I think I've seen the pilot, but I didn't. I need to actually pick it up and stick with it. And I've got time. And so do you. So we're going to tweet out this link of some of the 20 queer classics that you can watch right now while social distancing. And when we get back, James, it is your turn to lay 3 headlines on me for News It or Lose It.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. I'm just going to go with the same theme, Allie. I'm going to keep it going. I am still pleasured to be your guest co-host here on the show today. Hope everyone is enjoying their social isolation and enjoying us here on Drop the Subject. It's been a super fun show so far. Say that 3 times fast. But it is my turn right now to once again give out 3 news headlines to Allie and see if I can dominate this game. See if she picks all 3. It is time for News It or Lose It. Story. Ding, ding. Allie's got her wine glasses. Story number 1.
I've got 2
Allie.
Mason jars, but still, I'm getting through it.
you're making it work. All right. Story number 1. San Francisco drag artist Case Face transforms into a bottle of Purell, and not a moment too soon.
All right.
Oh, very good. All right.
I'm newsing it. Yeah.
You're like, I'm newsing it. We're good. Story number two, Trump and Pence's personal Bible teacher blames COVID-19 on the gays.
Oh my God. Lose it. These people have lost it. Like, how can you even... It's like they just look like
they've lost their mind.
They have a hat with all of these things that are they're offended by in it, and then they just like dig around and pull out one randomly, and they're like, "Blame it on gays." Okay, there we go. It's your fault,
gays. Don't you feel like that entire hat just has it's a just a bunch of pieces of paper with the word gays? Yeah, exactly. Oh boy. So that pretty much sums up that story. Anyway, the last story. Man in coronavirus self-isolation sends dog to shop with list and money attached to collar.
Yes. How's Annie, isn't it? Like sending out your right, little scruffy dog to do stuff for you, having adventures.
Yes, but of course. So listen, there is a drag artist whose name out of drag is Casey Trujillo, a.k.a. Cassidy LeBlanc, a.k.a. Caseface, decided to pull out the paints and paint her face while sheltering in place. And what she painted was her as a bottle of Purell. And it is really, really, really fantastic, actually. It's a little interesting to see. It's like it's a little unsettling, but I also think it's amazing. So you can follow her at Case, C-A-S-E dot face, F-A-A-C-E, Case dot face on Instagram.
Oh,
and she says, yeah, and you can like take a look at this. So what she says is, at this time, we're all processing not only the coronavirus, but also the difficult ripple it has upon our friends, family, and community. By painting Purell, it's my goal to share the silver lining of humor and levity in a moment of shadow. So, like, some deep stuff from our drag artists.
I'm seeing this now because I actually just Googled case face and I saw a giant suitcase with a man's bearded face on it. not what we were looking for, but I did, once you said two A's in face, I went to the Instagram profile and it is pretty awesome to see. It's like an isolated view of her face and it's painted as a bottle of Purell and it looks exactly like a bottle of Purell. I don't even know how to explain this.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. It is
the coolest thing. And I know we're merging mediums here. So it's maybe not wasn't the best story for radio because you can't see it. But since you're home and you're not doing anything else, listeners, go to Instagram.
Case face. There you go.
Follow her, case face. Yeah. All right. Story number two, because it's a little unsettling, but it's cool. So story number two, man in coronavirus self-isolation sends dog to shop with list and money attached to the collar. Now listen, Antonio Munoz is in Mexico and he was just 3 days into his coronavirus self-isolation alley when he got a craving, well, for some crisps, as we all do, right? Like, I need some crisps. And he thought, what better way to use my trained chihuahua than to send her out with money and a list attached to her collar. So no lie.
Okay.
This guy sends the chihuahua to the store.
I was curious to see what kind of dog this would be. I would not have guessed chihuahua because I feel like, I mean, you run into a chihuahua doing chores on a street sweeping day and then whoosh, that thing's gone.
Right. Like,
there's
the
a lot that can happen to the chihuahua. So I usually think of like a St. Bernard, Beethoven style, getting some chores done and then, you know, getting some treats along the way. What can a chihuahua even carry? I mean, it's got to have a little.
You would think like a little basket on its back or something. Like
right.
Something
it has to have
these things in. Well, I think that
Mr. Problem.
Is a problem. Hello, evolution. The Mr. Munoz was smart in what he requested. He really just wanted, he wanted a bag of chips. I'm going to give you a second to guess because I think it's really funny the types of chips that he wanted. But he sent a $20 bill with a note. And on the note, it said, warning, she will bite if not treated right. Your friendly neighbor.
Okay.
So he almost puts a threat in there. Yeah.
I'm going backyard barbecue.
Oh, very good guess. Very good guess. Good old, plain old Cheetos.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a chip. That's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right. We're throwing you off a little bit. Anyway, the pictures of this is absolutely adorable. I'm sure if you Google like Chihuahua Cheetos, she's literally carrying back a bag of Cheetos in her mouth. And she does. She makes it all the way back to her house and gives Mr. Munoz his Cheetos. We are getting super creative and maybe a little bit crazy in self-isolation, ain't we?
Yeah. And, you know, I think the Taco Bell Chihuahua is probably very jealous of Cheetos Chihuahua. There's a real rivalry going. I can sense it. Okay. We get back, I'm going to read some of your responses because we're getting more responses on how long you've gone with no pants on. And we'll close out the show and give you our happy endings next.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Well, and just like that, it is time to say goodbye. But there are a lot of responses that we've been getting on how long you've gone with no pants. I posed the question on our Instagram story. If you're not following us already, please do at DTS Show. I'm Allie. James Simmons, the nurse practitioner, has been joining me all show long. You're back for the rest of the week, right, James?
I sure am. Finishing out the week with you.
Yep. Yeah. It's not like he has anything better to do. Save lives.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
Napua63 on Instagram said, yesterday I was in pajamas. Saturday I wore jeans. Today has been yoga pants. And tomorrow will be pajamas again. So they're kind of cycling through a bit of a trend. Meanwhile, Donna on Twitter said, I can beat all of you on the no pants with a zipper or snap or button. I got a concussion on March 5th and have not gotten out of sweats since. So there you go, ladies and gents. 20 days, no pants. Can you beat it?
Oh, my.
Let us know.
Gosh. And sorry for the concussion, by the way. Yikes.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. Major yikes. Donna also said, like Allie, I also do put a bra on, a stretchy one every day. And Chris Contreras on Twitter said that he's actually back at work. He said, speaking of the stimulus package, is James broadcasting from home as well? And is he wearing pants? The answers are yes and yes. And he said that he's back to work now and is very happy that we are broadcasting live. So you're welcome, Chris. I don't know why you're going to work, but I hope you're staying safe out there.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about you at work, Chris. I hope your job is either an essential one or you are like in a bubble. Because I worry about you.
Yeah, like you're just driving a truck by yourself or something.
Right, exactly. With gloves and a mask.
Yeah, with gloves and a mask. All right, and now it is time for happy endings. Because, let's face it, there are some sad things that we must discuss on the show on any given day. So it's important that we take those things and make them positive so we give you something nice and fuzzy to take into the rest of your day. James, do you have a happy ending?
I do have a happy ending, and it is quite interesting, I think. And it's just a little glimmer of hope for us going forward. You know, there may be so many celebrities who are unfortunately becoming infected with COVID-19. They're canceling shows. They're unable to work. They're unable to entertain us in the way that they normally would. But there is one celebrity who has managed to remain COVID-19 free, but still offer hope for all of us in self-quarantine. Blake Shelton, boyfriend of Gwen Stefani and co-host of The View, is growing out his mullet as a symbol of hope for all Americans to stay strong during quarantine in the time of COVID-19.
Well, that now I really do have hope. You know, there's been a running joke that I once had a haircut that was very similar to a mullet. I always argue that it was a short haircut that grew out and just kind of looked a little funny. But maybe if Blake Shelton's doing it, I'll try and grow out my current haircut. I mean, it's growing anyway, but we'll see what happens the longer it gets, if it looks mullet-y. And I will kind of dig up the mullet picture in question and send it out, because I want new opinions.
Oh, please do. I cannot wait to see this picture. And yes, that will be my happy ending that day, that I see that picture. But Allie, what is your happy ending today, my dear?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. Mine is, the stimulus package may be disappointing for some, but the good news is that there are a lot of not disappointing packages online right now, thanks to Zoom sex parties. So if you would like to see a really impressive package,
Oh.
Take part in a Zoom sex party because you got time and you can always mute yourself and you don't even have to show yourself necessarily. You can just observe and have fun.
Right. Free packages for all of any shape and size and color and texture and yeah, girth.
And yes, a nice girthy stimulus package. All right. I think we've said plenty of things that we're not normally supposed to say on the radio today. So it's probably our cue to get out of here. But we will be back tomorrow. And if you have any questions for James in the meantime, you can always at AskTheNP on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can follow the show on Twitter and on Instagram at DTS Show. We will be posing daily questions for you and to you, and we look forward to your responses. You can definitely check out the podcast if you missed anything. That's Drop the Subject on radio.com or wherever you find your podcast. James, I will hear you tomorrow.
Allie, looking forward to it. Everyone else, have a great day.
I'm going to go put pants on. Not.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.